come together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox in the Ledge.
Are you kidding me? It's a marvelous Monday edition of Let's Talk as we are back, baby, from a wonderful weekend. We will have lots to talk about said weekend. And we're starting off the week with a bang here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's your old pal Ironhead. It's your even older pal. Who is he old? Mr. Geese.
Oh, man.
Huh?
That is seriously cruel.
Oh, I meant wise. You're wise.
Yes. There we go.
The wisdom comes with experience. So we're just experienced as what it is on this Monday morning. The sun is shining, and believe it or not, we are being told that we will have temperatures that don't resemble November. As early as tomorrow, we could have summer-like conditions. It's going to be pretty darn nice today, but tomorrow it's going to get warm. And, you know, we're in June, for crying out loud.
Today will be nice.
Little chilly, little windy over the weekend and past week. We will check in with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, coming up in the final segment of this morning's Big Show.
I mean, it was a little chilly overnight if you didn't notice it, if you weren't out and about. At my house, allegedly, it got down to 35. Allegedly. And I took my guy Domino out earlier this morning. I'm looking at the yard, which I just mowed yesterday, and I'm thinking, is that frost over there? I don't think it was. But boy, it sure looked like it. 35. Yeah. You hot weather people, okay. Okay. Your 80s are coming. Hope you're happy. I like cool weather. Now, this weekend was a little cool.
Yeah, I like 70s and sunny all the time.
There you go.
That's all I want. 12 months. Oh, well, no, I don't even want that. I want maybe a three-day span, like December 23rd through the 26th, where we get cold snow, get a little sled riding in, so we could have just that three-day period of, you know, actual snow. I do want a couple of days where you can go to the pool, so maybe August 1st through the 3rd, we can have, you know, temperatures in the even mid to upper 80s, and let's, man, you got to get out and go into the pool. And then other than that, the rest of the time, 70 and sunny, 75 and sunny throughout the day, low humidity, and then, you know, rain between midnight and 5. That's all I want.
Sounds like Camelot, the old stage show Camelot. It only rains at night.
Nah, it's just a request.
It only rains at
night. I think that would be very reasonable.
So there we go. All right. All right, folks, we have an open line program. What's his name? Back from playing golf. Oh, can't wait to hear this.
It was a very laborious, intensive weekend. I have struggled through.
It was that bad?
And made it.
It was that bad?
It was that good. It was pretty darn.
No. I'm talking about the golfing.
I was playing with some guys that were pretty decent.
Okay, well, that's nice. They were pretty decent.
Yeah, so our team was pretty decent.
We're talking about you.
I was part of the team. We were pretty decent.
I think I see where this is going. Did you make a putt?
You know,
Our
team, I made a putt.
You made
that
a
is
putt.
Exactly what I made.
All right.
Our team left about 8 on the lip. It was unbelievable.
8 on the lip.
Yes. Really? I mean, the score was not unreasonable, as was, but the one guy in particular had 6 or 7 putts over the 18-hole. I mean, it was unbelievable. It's like, okay, if like one more rotation on any of those balls, and we would have had at least 4 more drop, 2 more, or 3 more rotations, and we would have had 7 or 8 taken off of our score. But a lot of fun, a lot of people out raising money for the fight against cancer. Wonderful reception Thursday night over at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park. Always fun catching up with old friends and meeting new ones, and that's exactly what occurred over the weekend. We went to a wonderful event. I'll talk more about that later in the show, but we, my wife and I can't remember if this was our second or third. It was at least our second. We have definitely been there once before, and I'm honestly not sure now. We were supposed to go last year, and kidney stones for my wife interrupted that attempt. But Strawberry Fields has just an amazing garden party celebration fundraiser, but it is spectacular, and it is over at Bruce Himes' place, the Himes. He and his wife celebrating her 80th birthday. Happy birthday, Gigi! It was just a really, really neat event. And I talked to a few people there. It is a reminder, and we see it here with the food bank and my wife's foundation, and the number of people. And I think Happy Valley is especially good at this, but I do think there are just a lot of people trying to do good things, trying to help other people out in whatever way they can. And it was neat. Again, catching up with some old friends, made some new acquaintances there at the event on Saturday. It was, God bless the folks who were catering and doing the food. It was chilly. That's putting it kindly. And the wind, I don't know how they did what they did. They deserve always kudos to the caterers and the folks that work events like that. But above and beyond this year, and it really was a spectacular display. Great, great food, just a great time. I think I can safely say had by all. I can for sure say had by my wife and I. And yeah, it was just, I don't know, it was one of those weekends that just make you feel good about where we live, about the people we have around, the work that is being done, and the collaborative efforts. And I think, you know, we'll see. It has my mind thinking about some other ways we can get involved here with the radio station and maybe collaborate with some folks on getting the word out about some of these things and maybe create some more opportunities to raise funds for some of these organizations and the great work they do. But, yeah, it was an inspiring weekend. Despite my golf game, it was an inspiring weekend.
There we are. Okay.
But, my gosh, we did pick the right time. Friday morning was gorgeous.
Yes, it was great.
Out on the golf course. I mean, it was, the number of times we just looked at each other, it's like, this is unbelievable.
It's perfect.
We get to just be out here and enjoy the morning that we have. And we did jinx it a little bit. We're playing along and we were moving. I mean, the scramble format, usually in the tournaments I play in, which is usually coaches versus cancer, I usually get out twice, sometimes three times a year. I usually play the coaches versus cancer, and I usually play the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club's tournament in the fall. I was supposed to get to the one in Lock Haven, the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club golf tournament there, which was a week before, and then we had some, kidney stones creeping up that put a wrench into those plans. But so I usually get out, you know, four times is like my limit. Whoa, four times out golfing in one summer. But usually two or three times. And generally, we get backed up somewhere along the way. We being my team, may or may not be the cause of the backlog sometimes.
Uh-oh.
But we were moving on Friday, and then we made the mistake of commenting on, man, it's amazing how quickly this round is going by. Like, we have just had no stoppages. Well, the last two holes,
we
came to a standstill. We had to wait for a couple of groups in front of us to tee off. At the end of the day, no big deal. We were done, I think we were off the golf course in 4.5 hours, which they allow for five generally for those events. And so, yeah, grabbed our food, home a little earlier than expected, got a few other things done. It was a tidy-up weekend at our place. My wife does a lot of the outdoor stuff. She knows where she wants the flowers. So I'm like, all right. So she was doing that. I was getting some things. We're trying to get a bunch of stuff cleaned out in our house. So it was a somewhat productive weekend. And then we had playoff baseball yesterday in Little League. Very good game. It's a double elimination tournament, so we're still in it, but a one-run loss. But we're still in it. Firehawks will be back in action on Tuesday evening.
What are they called?
The Firehawks. They is what they have branded themselves. Okay. They came up with Firehawks.
Nice. Okay. All right. Open line program by today. 814-954-7266. All right, a particular note. First off, first week of June. Welcome to June. That means the end of school, at least for folks in our neighborhood. Now, some other folks are already done. My friends in Tyrone, I think, wrapped up Friday. Phillipsburg wrapped up Friday. Maybe all the Clearfield County schools wrapped up Friday. I'm not sure about that. But around here in Center County, it's this week. All right, parents, are you ready for the kiddies to be home full-time? You have a kiddo.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yep, because we got camps lined up, baby.
We got camps lined up.
Right out of the gate. He goes to a Penn State sports camp next week. So, yes, we are We are ready.
Very cool. All right, so folks, get ready. All right, we got graduation ceremonies. We'll see about the weather. Ugh. Friday night it rained, or Friday afternoon it rained? Friday night it rained. So, I don't know, Friday's always a popular time for high school graduations. There's going to be a few of those in our neighborhood this week. Let's see if the weather cooperates for outdoor ceremonies instead of being forced inside. Now, speaking of weather, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us later next hour. Maybe we'll talk about Canadian wildfires. Oh, no. I mentioned this on Friday's show. Here we go. It's happening again. And for those that remember a couple of years ago, remember that summer there were days where you weren't supposed to go outside? Or if you did, you're supposed to wear a mask or something because it was rather thick. You went outside, I mean, you immediately picked it up and everything was kind of orangey and hazy. And are we about to have this again? Now, I'm checking. I mentioned this on Friday. Big, like thousands of acres in Canada burning again. All that smoke, all those, I don't know, particulates or whatever you want to call it. Not a good weekend in Wisconsin. I guess Minnesota. Michigan, Chicago, I believe, had some of this stuff. And so I thought, okay, this stuff has got to be heading our direction. And so I'm checking out different weather forecasts on my gadget. I've got several weather apps. And apparently today, tomorrow, Wednesday, I guess it won't be bad. But I'm looking at this one. This is one, a forecast for today. It says hazy sunshine today. Smoke from distant wildfires will enhance the sunset. In other words, you're going to see it. All right.
We were supposed to be able to see the Northern Lights last night. We went out and, supposed to be visible to the naked eye here. And, our experience, and we went out, we went a ways to try to see it, and it's not really. A little bit. I mean, you could see, but not. Yeah, it was supposed to be a little more spectacular than what it turned out to be last night.
Hop in the vehicle and drive north. There you go. But allegedly tomorrow, I'm getting, again, this is from one outlet, tomorrow, smoke from Canadian wildfires will obscure the sky tomorrow. I'm thinking, okay. And apparently this might go into Wednesday. So when Joe joins us later next hour, we're going to have to ask him about this again. And is this the first go-round of many, kind of like a couple of years ago? Oh, wonderful. That's great. Also, speaking of weather, now it's June, all right? So officially, we are now in hurricane season. We could ask Joe about this next hour. And I'm not exactly sure who does this, some official office or person or something, comes up with the names for hurricanes. All right, we've noticed that every hurricane has a name. Actually, anymore, it seems like any big storm has a name. Now, Joe likes to have fun with names.
Right.
He shared that a bit with us in the past, so we'll get some of Joe's names of things. Now, thankfully, they've released the list of names, so you're not surprised. Okay, I guess thankfully there's no Jeff or Scott on the list. We did not make the, we never make the list. I'm not complaining. Okay, not complaining. And I guess maybe sometimes they reuse some of these names over a course of years. I don't know, but here's the names. So whenever the first hurricane shows up, and if I'm correct, I think Joe thinks that's going to happen in June, which doesn't normally happen. But he, listening to him recently, he thinks we could have one in June. Well, the first one, remember, they go in alphabetical order. The first one is Andrea. All right, so the first hurricane, whenever that is going to be Andrea. Remember the old days when it was always women's names? And then, that got people all fired up. Now we got gals and guys. All right, so it's Andrea, followed by Barry. All right. Then Chantal. Next is Dexter. Hurricane Dexter. All right, I like that. Aaron, with an E. Fernand. Now, not Fernando, apparently. Just Fernand. All right. Then Gabrielle. Then for H, Humberto. Oh, they always have fun with names. I is Imelda. Then it's Jerry, with a J. Karen, Lorenzo, Hurricane Lorenzo.
Look out.
That should be fun. Melissa, that's kind of a, I don't know, regular name. Then it's Nestor, Hurricane Nestor. Then it's Olga. Then Pablo, with a P. Rebecca, spelled R-E-B-E-K-A-H. Rebecca, make sure you spell it right, Rebecca. Then Sebastian, Tanya, Van for V, Hurricane Van, and Wendy. And for some reason, this list stops at W. I don't know, they don't have anything for X? What would X be? X-ray, X something. Maybe they skip X.
I'm not Xavier. Sure.
So there's all your names for this year's hurricane season. So prepare, Andrea, whenever Andrea decides to show up, she gets to go first. Okay. Now, coming up in about 40 minutes, now we're not going to see this, at least not here, our two Pennsylvania U.S. senators, Dave McCormick and John Fetterman, are doing a debate this morning for some reason. A morning debate. That's, you don't normally see those. It's supposed to start at 9 a.m., our two Pennsylvania senators will be debating in Boston, Massachusetts. Like, wait a minute, why not Philadelphia or something? Now, this is part of something called the Senate Project. Part of this is hosted by the Edward Kennedy Institute for the United States Senate. Now, that's Ted Kennedy, all right, the longtime senator, Democrat icon senator from Massachusetts. That's why they're doing this in Boston. So the Ted Kennedy Institute and the Orrin Hatch Foundation. Now, those were two longtime senators. Kennedy, of course, a Democrat. Hatch was a Republican. I guess they were longtime friends. Sometimes kind of went at it, you know, in the Senate and so on. But they served during the same time. They both started foundations. Of course, they have both since passed on. But their two groups are hosting this series called The Senate Project. And apparently this debate today between Pennsylvania's two U.S. senators is like a highlight item of this gig. Shannon Bream, who is an anchor for Fox News, is the moderator of this thing. I'll be honest, I don't know if Fox News is carrying it. Maybe they are. It's at 9 a.m., which is during our time slot. That's annoying. Okay, what, come on. Who thought this was a good idea? All right, nobody wants to stop listening to this program. So my thought is go ahead and record it.
There you go.
All right, record if it's on, whatever channel it's on. During a break, I'll have to do a quick search, see if I can find a channel. I mean, again, Fetterman and McCormick recently have done some things together, which, of course, being a Democrat and Republican, you're not supposed to do that.
Come on.
You know, they seem to be very friendly with each other and cooperative, not combative, which, again, it seems to be, it's supposed to be the norm today, which is ridiculous. It's not supposed to be the norm. You can at least be friendly. You can disagree on everything, but you can at least be friendly. I don't know. The Senate maybe is a bit more friendly. The House, you got some folks in the House that, it's like, how did you get here? Anyway, so we'll see if there's anything interesting that comes out of these debates. McCormick, again, he's the newbie, so he's been kind of quiet. He's like the new guy. Fetterman, of course, apparently drives Democrats crazy because he's supposed to be an ultra-progressive, and yet he's coming out and supporting Israel. He's against illegal immigration, and you know, some Democrats are pulling their hair out over this guy. It's like, what? You know, the hoodie thing apparently is wearing off for some of these folks. So it'll be interesting to see how this, if anything comes out of this debate, like something newsworthy, or if these two guys are just going to talk, and it'll be a fun project for these groups. We'll find out. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a ton. Are you kidding? A ton of sports, including I've got some interesting little sidelights that I came over the weekend. Like, really? That's kind of interesting. All right, mm-hmm. We'll have open line time later. Joe Bastardi on Canadian wildfires later on next hour. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
This summer, Let Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th Annual Belfont Cruise in downtown Belfont. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. Pimp, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College. Daughter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
May is National Mental Health Awareness Month, and everyone is invited to attend the Center County Helps Wrap-Up Party, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Celebrate the month-long awareness campaign at Wasson Farm in State College. Admission is free, and doors open at 5 p.m. with live music by Kevin Briggs, free ice cream, a vendor fair, complimentary hors d'oeuvres, plus a program of speakers and great stories beginning at 5:30. Join the fun at the Mental Health Awareness Month Wrap-Up Party this Wednesday at Wasson Farm.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, a marvelous Monday morning. And we've got some big time action rolling your way this week starting today. The Bald Eagle area softball team will be hosting a first round PIAA AAA tournament game this afternoon as the Lady Eagles will take on Avonworth. That'll be a 4:30 start this afternoon in Wingate, and you can listen for that game right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Todd and Norm Brown will have the call, probably go on the air right around 4:25 or so this afternoon. And Bald Eagle area, one of four Center County softball teams in action in the PIAA state tournament today, along with the Bellefonte baseball team. Also in the AAA tournament this afternoon, it'll be Phillipsburg Osceola traveling to Susquehanna. That is a 4 o'clock start there. In the 6A tournament, it'll be State College traveling to Hempfield. That game this afternoon gets underway at 4 o'clock. And then in the Quad A tournament, Bellefonte will be hosting Blackhawk. First pitch in that contest is set for 4:30 this afternoon. Bellefonte baseball team looking to avenge last year's loss to Indiana. The Red Raiders again face Indiana in the Quad A baseball tournament, first round action, and that'll be a 4 o'clock start this afternoon at Indiana. Also this week, the PIAA AAA lacrosse championships will open up with first round play tomorrow. Both state college teams will be home on the North Turf in first round games tomorrow. Pretty cool opportunity. State College girls will entertain Pine Richland. That'll be at 4:30. And then the State High boys scheduled to take on Shadyside Academy at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. So both State College lacrosse teams in first round PIAA tournament action at home on the North Turf tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, the State College boys volleyball team will open up PIAA AAA tournament action by hosting Penn Trafford. That match will get underway at 5:30 at the State College North Gym. Again, that match tomorrow evening at 5:30. So, three State High teams in action at home tomorrow in PIAA tournament action. The Penn State wrestling team has two current members and three incoming freshmen on the USA Under-20 World Team that will compete at the World Championships in Bulgaria this August. And incoming transfer from Ohio State, Rocco Welsh, has secured a spot on the Under-23 National Team that will be competing in the World Championships come this fall. That'll be in October, over in Bulgaria. Folks, I mean, you gotta feed the beast that is Penn State Wrestling. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you feed your beast, whether your beast is a pig, a dog, a cat, a cow, a horse, chickens, whether it's the outdoor birds, whatever beast you're trying to feed, the Center Hall Farm Store can help you feed the beast. You can stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall, or you can check them out online at centerhallfarmstore.com. Let them help you feed the beast and let them help you grow this spring as we make the turn toward summer. If you're looking for garden supplies, help with those gardens, the Center Hall Farm Store has everything you need. And, by the way, if you're trying to keep away some of those pesky mosquitoes, ticks, such things as that, Center Hall Farm Store can help you out there as well. All right, the beast that is Penn State Wrestling. What a weekend for wrestlers with Penn State ties. Again, two current members and three incoming freshmen are on the Under-20 World Team now that will be competing this August in Bulgaria. Incoming freshman Marcus Blaze at 61 kilos, P.J. Duke at 70 kilos, and William Hankel at 79 kilos, all on the world team, along with returning redshirt freshman Connor Mirasola at 92 kilos and twin brother Cole Mirasola at 125 kilos. In the finals, which were all best of three series, the five Nittany Lions and soon-to-be Nittany Lions that were victorious, all sweeping the finals. Connor Mirasola beat Dylan Bechtold 10-0 and 4-1. Cole Mirasola over Drayshawn Ross 4-1 and 5-2. P.J. Duke sweeping Landon Robideau 7-0 and 9-4. Hankel looked fantastic. William Hankel, a pair of 10-0 technical superiorities over Brock Mantanona, the Michigan recruit. Marcus Blaze defeated Kyle Larkin 10-0 and 4-1. And again, Penn State incoming freshman and redshirt freshman just having a terrific, terrific weekend. Jaden James, who is a 2026 recruit for Penn State, advanced to the finals and then was swept by Oklahoma State incoming freshman Ladarian Lockett 2-1. Again, the U.S. team comprised of wrestlers who will be at Penn State this fall by 50%. The other starters are Cornell recruit Anthony Knox at 57 kilos, Lehigh's Luke Stanich at 65 kilos, incoming Oklahoma State recruit Ladarian Lockett, who again defeated Penn State's 2026 recruit Jaden James in the finals at 74 kilos, Minnesota's Max McAnally at 86 kilos, and Oregon State's Justin Rademacher at 97 kilos. Also, Penn State's Joe Seeley taking third place at 74 kilos. Incoming Penn State freshman Nate Desmond went 2-2 at 57 kilos, and Sam Herring went 3-2 at 61 kilos. Again, incoming Ohio State transfer Rocco Welsh won the Under-23 National Freestyle title for the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club at 86 kilos. Welsh will be on the world team for the United States in the Under-23 Championships. Those will be in Serbia. I think I might have said Bulgaria for that, too. They're in Serbia in October. Penn State teammate Connor Pierce placed 8th at 70 kilos, and Penn State wrestlers Sam Beckett, Dawson Bundy, and Penns Valley grad Ty Watson also competing in the event over the weekend. Also, high grad, Pearson Manville, who is now at Arizona State, took third at 65 kilos after earlier finishing as the runner-up in the Greco-Roman World Team Trials. And fellow State High alum Nick Pavlechko, now at Indiana, reached the round of 16 at 125 kilos. Also over the weekend, Penn State grad Roman Bravo Young won a silver medal for Mexico at the Ulaanbaatar Ranking Series in Mongolia. He beat an Olympic bronze medalist in the semifinals before falling 6-3 in the finals to Mongolia's Monk Erdin Batyag. Or something
easy
like that.
Easy for you
that's,
to say.
You know, that's my best, best attempt there. My apologies if... As I suspect, the pronunciation.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in Mongolia. You better watch out.
I mean, no disrespect. I did my best. I'm just not overly familiar with the pronunciation there. My apologies. Penn State's Florence Karen will compete at the NCAA Track and Field Championships. Not just in one event, but in two events. Karen qualified for both the 5,000 and the 10,000 meters at the East Preliminaries over the weekend. Karen was third in the 5,000 on Saturday after she had placed second in the 10,000 on Thursday in the East Regionals. Penn State senior Maddie Ullum qualified in the 3,000-meter women's steeplechase with an eighth-place finish. At the East Regionals, Penn State junior Maddie Pitts also qualified for the heptathlon. She ranks seventh in the East Region. Also qualifying for the NCAA championships are Penn State's Handel Robin and Alan Clay in the men's 800 meters and Penn State's men's 4x400 relay team will also compete. The NCAA championships will be held June 11th through the 14th in Eugene, Oregon. Penn State hockey, according to The Athletic, picking up a big prospect. This announced by The Athletic Scott Wheeler yesterday. He says five-star recruit Jackson Smith will be joining the Nittany Lions as the third highest-rated defenseman on Central Scouting's North American list. In the last 10 games alone, he has 5 goals and 2 assists. The Calgary native played for the Tri-City Americans in the WHL. Playing 68 games this past season, the defenseman had 11 goals and 43 assists. According to the NHL, he is projected to be a first-round draft pick in this year's NHL draft. He will be joining the new transfer defenseman, Mac Gadowski. Gadowski, boy, that name sounds familiar. That'll be in Hockey Valley coming up this fall. Yeah. It's going to be a fun upcoming season, just saying. Pittsburgh Pirates lost the series finale to the Padres in San Diego yesterday. The Bucks were up 4-2 going to the bottom of the seventh, but the Padres put up 4 runs in the inning and won the game 6-4 and took 2 of 3 in the series. Andrew McCutchen hit a home run in the third inning yesterday. It was the 240th McCutchen has hit in a Pirates uniform. That ties Kutch with Roberto Clemente for third on the all-time list for Pirates. Only Willie Stargell with 475 and Ralph Kiner with 301 have hit more home runs in a Pirates uniform. Kutch now has 324 overall in his major league career. And the rest of the series, well, Pirates won Saturday night. That was a highlight, a nice 5-0 win. 6 1/3 sensational shutout innings by Bailey Falter, who got the victory. On Friday night, and yep, I'm still seething about it, the Pirates lost 3-2. But did they? I mean, it's going to go down, yes. 3-2, that is what the record will clearly show. But in the top of the eighth, with the bases loaded, and a full count, Henry Davis watched ball 4 go by. The ball was both low and outside. Both low and outside. So not in the strike zone in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
And yet the umpire calls strike 3. Because the umpire is a moron. And the Pirates lose the game 3-2. Very, very frustrating. Andrew McCutcheon, I think, is still staring down the home plate umpire. He let him have it. McCutcheon doesn't unload very often. It was interesting as he was walking off. He was not the only Pirate to let the ump have it. It was an awful call. And, you know, I'm trying to teach the kiddo, like, even at the major league level, mistakes happen. But, man, that's a bad one. Robert Suarez threw ball four, got credited with the strikeout, and retired officially the final four batters for the Pirates. Ugh. Pittsburgh has today off before hosting the Houston Astros in a three-game series at PNC Park starting tomorrow night. And then the Philadelphia Phillies calling this weekend. You know, has the potential to be fun. It also has the potential to be very, very frustrating. Philadelphia is a little frustrated at the moment. The Phils dropping the series finale to Milwaukee yesterday 5-2. The Brewers, with that win, complete a three-game sweep in Philadelphia. The Phillies are now a game behind the New York Mets in the National League East. Milwaukee winning 17-7 on Saturday and 6-2 on Friday. The Phillies have now dropped four straight. Trey Turner and Nick Castellanos had the RBI for Philadelphia in yesterday's loss. The Phillies had a 2-1 lead yesterday after six innings, but the Brewers scored three in the seventh and then added an insurance run in the ninth. The Phillies announcing they are bringing Mick Abel back up to get a start against the Blue Jays on Thursday, and they're putting Abel into the starting rotation now, and they'll move Ty Walker to the bullpen and see if they can bolster that bullpen, which has been, for sure, a problem for the Phillies here this season. I think if I saw the numbers right, and I didn't write those down, but I think they're 25th right now, that bullpen in ERA in Major League Baseball. So that is the one area that the Phillies are looking to strengthen, and they're hoping maybe this move will help. The Phillies also have today off, and then will open a three-game series against the Blue Jays in Toronto tomorrow night before beginning that big series with the beloved Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll see. Okay. Fingers crossed.
There you go.
And again, Little League, Firehawks go down a one-run loss. I think it was 11-10 last night. Good battle, good game. Both teams actually played pretty darn well. It was fun watch. And congratulations to all of the kiddos playing Little League Baseball, and especially to all of the coaches. It has been a trying spring. I think that would be fair to say. It has been a battle. Coaches have been terrific. I presume all throughout the county. I know for sure the State College Little League coaches have done a terrific job of keeping everybody's head up and allowing the kids to continue to learn with somewhat limited opportunities here this spring. And that's what I have from the world of sports.
All right, quick notes. Of course, once again, he misses the Orioles. My Orioles got out the broom over the weekend and swept the Chicago White Sox. Now, granted, it's the White Sox.
Well, I mean, come on.
Okay, granted, it's them, all right? But the Orioles have won six of their last eight. Their starting pitching is starting to firm up, and I'm hopeful they've turned a corner here and start heading in the right direction. Six of eight is pretty good. Now, one score, inexplicably, that my partner missed, of course, was the UEFA Champions League game on Saturday.
Uh-huh. Inexplicable.
Right. Inexplicable. PSG, that's Paris Saint-Germain. First time they've won the Champions League, finally. All right. PSG is like the premier team of France, and it wasn't even close. They clobbered Inter Milan from Italy 5-0. Or 5-0.
That's nil.
5-0.
Come on,
nil.
Soccer guy.
Right. Come on. The Americans speak, it's nothing. 5-0. They played this in Munich. I mean, PSG was just dominant. I watched most of this game on Saturday, and they were sharp. It's interesting. You know, in recent years, PSG has had big-name players, Kylian Mbappe, other big-name players, and they couldn't win the championship. They finally jettisoned all the big name players, and they win the championship. Go figure. Isn't that interesting? So, now, of course, the fans of PSG celebrated by going out in the streets of Paris and rioting, and I think two people died. And it's like, oh, come on. Do you need to do that? No. Ah, PSG fans, you ruined it. But their team had a great list. And I did a check. All right. Mongolia literally is on the other side of the planet. They're 12 hours ahead of us. So, of course, we stream worldwide. I'm sure somebody in Mongolia heard you just annihilate that guy's name. All right, I'm sure they did, and they're not going to be happy.
I think I nailed it.
So they're 12 hours away.
I think I got it exactly right, and they're over there.
So right now it's 8:45 at night.
They can't believe
in Mongolia
that I actually got the name all right, dead right.
Let's take a break. All right, we come back. We'll have open line time. Again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Got to ask him about this wildfire stuff again. Like, again? Like, why does it come here? You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What's up with that? All right. And other interesting notes. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox and your calls as well later on. We'll take more of that and stuff when we come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
This summer, Best Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th Annual Belfont Cruise in downtown Belfont. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. Pimp, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College. Duttery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
WTAJ, Five Star Power Sports, Snyder's Concessions, Krep Service and Sales, Courthouse Pub, and Fullington Trailways.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now, or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
This summer, Les Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th annual Belfont Cruise in downtown Belfont. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. Pimp, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College. Daughter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
It is a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and the phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266.
All right, we got plenty of heavy topics to discuss, which we'll tackle maybe in a little bit. All right, let's stick with sports here a little bit. I got a couple of things here. All right, of course, this is a big week. There's a big week for high school playoffs.
Oh yeah,
right. We had that last segment. I mean, there's a lot of things going
on.
That,
wow, right.
NBA finals start, NHL finals start. All right, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I came across this story courtesy of Morning Brew, which is an email newsletter, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it made me think.
Oh,
why do
hate it
why do yeah well it hurts sometimes
think.
All right. Why do some players play for certain teams?
Yeah.
Now,
what's up with that?
Now I'm talking about the professional level. All right. Why do some players opt to play for certain teams? Now, I like hockey. I'm not a big NHL fan. You know, if the Penguins are playing, yes, okay. They're not.
They are not.
Sorry, all right. But I didn't realize this until I took the time to take a look. All right. The last 5 years, the Stanley Cup Finals has featured a team from Florida. Have you noticed that? The last 5 years, a team from Florida has made the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Now, that's either the Florida Panthers.
It's just not
they're
right.
Playing. They're the defending champs. They're playing this week.
Good.
Or the Tampa Bay Lightning. And those two teams always seem to be really good, like every year. All right? They're good. They make the playoffs, you know, all that sort of stuff. Now, I don't know about you. I don't normally think ice hockey in Florida.
No.
Okay, really? Ice hockey, Florida? Yeah, those go together. Not really. And, you know, just like, well, why are those teams always so good? Well, could one reason be that Florida has no state income tax?
Hey, hey, hey!
How about that? Now, I didn't even realize that. I never thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a story here that once again, you've got these franchises in states without a state income tax that maybe a lot of these top players are opting to play there simply because they want to lower their tax bill. Huh. Okay. Very interesting. Now, they shared the story of Mikko Rantanen, who is a top player. All right. And Mikko had an interesting season, I guess, and I don't follow this closely, so I'm going by a description here. He started with Colorado, then he was traded to Carolina,
Then later on, he went from Carolina to Dallas, the Dallas Stars. Now, the Dallas Stars are a good team, all right? They made the conference finals, all right? They lost to Edmonton, Canada's team. That'll be Canada's team starting later this week. Everybody in Canada is going to be an Edmonton Oilers fan, all of them,
yep.
All right? 51st night, all that sort of stuff. So Rantanen went from Colorado to Carolina to Dallas. And recently, apparently, he signed an 8-year extension with Dallas, the Stars. 8 years, $96 million. Whoa.
Hey, now.
I could make that kind of money. But according to the story, Carolina actually offered Rantanen more money. They wanted him, you know, come back to Carolina, go with Carolina instead of Dallas. Carolina offered him more money than Dallas did. But he elected to sign with Dallas because Texas doesn't have a state income tax. Carolina does. Now, isn't that interesting? All right. You know, we see some of these Penn State, I don't know, football players or whatever, they go pro and so on. And, you know, you get drafted. And after you play a while, of course, you can, like, switch teams if you want to do that sort of thing. And you start to decide, okay, where do I want to go? Do I want to go, you know, to this team, or do I want to go to this team? Maybe not necessarily because they're good, because I get to keep more of my money. Isn't that? I just found that fascinating. Florida teams in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals every year. Well, that might be the reason why. How about that? Then I came across this on social media, a nod to our friend Landon Tengwall, who had a post kind of referring to this. And I kind of follow Landon. He's pretty cool. He really knows his stuff with football. And I read this. I'm like, really? Okay. And so there are so many online media outlets these days. It's crazy. I haven't heard of half of them. So here's one. Maybe you've heard of this one. Front Porch Sports. Is like, what is that? I've never heard of them. Front Porch Sports. Okay. And the other day, I don't know, they did some compilation. They came out with this big list of schools, the best pizza spot in every college town. All right, here, I printed it out. Here it is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The best pizza spot in every college town. And, of course, Penn State is on this list.
It's all right. College town,
all right. We got a little free plug alert coming up here. And so they pronounced a certain place as the best pizza spot in every college town. And our friend Landon, I guess you could say, disagreed.
Oh, boy.
And so he put a posting out there like, I don't think so. Okay, and he, now according to these people, Front Porch Sports, whoever the heck they are,
yeah.
Let's see if you agree.
Yes.
Now, you know, we're not casting aspersions or anything, all right, but according to these folks, the best college or the best pizza spot in town is Canyon Pizza. Now, I've had Canyon Pizza, all right, downtown. They're very good. Grange Fair every year, Canyon Pizza always has a very popular, booth of sorts or a little restaurant area there. Every time I go to the Grange Fair, there's always a line of people at Canyon Pizza. Okay, that's cool. Now, Landon disagreed, okay. First, he mentions Hofbräu Pizza in Belfort. That Hofbräu has very good pizza. Now, technically, that's Belfont. It's not college town. Technically it isn't. Okay. He mentioned there's a place downtown called Giuseppe's, which is corner of College and Pugh. They're quite good. Apparently, that's Landon's favorite place to go, I guess, in town. All right. Now, folks, we're kind of throwing out the challenge here.
All right.
Best pizza spot in town. And, yes, you could cheat and go a little further, like State College to Belfont or something. So if you would like to chime in on that, we can have some fun. All right. 814-954-7266. I've had pizza at all three of those. They're all tasty. All right. They're all good. What do you think in that particular regard? Now, again, I've got this
I printed it out, this big, giant list, all right? Now, you've done a ton of Big Ten traveling, all right? Uh-huh. You have. So you've been to maybe not all of these towns and so on, but a lot of them. Now, again, I've never really done any Big Ten traveling. I just haven't needed to. So some of these places, I mean, what caught my eye is some of these places have very interesting names. Okay, very creative. Now, some of these are simple. It's like, here's one, LSU. It's called, allegedly, according to these people, City Slice is the best college or the best pizza spot in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay, that's fine. All right, now you've been to Iowa City how many times?
A lot.
How many times?
A lot.
Have you been to this place? All right. Allegedly, according to these people, the best pizza spot in Iowa City is Wig and Penn Pizza Pub. You've been there?
I have.
You've been there?
Yeah.
Well.
That's good.
It's good?
Yeah.
Wig and Penn?
Mm-hmm.
Is that two
right
people?
Right at the bottom of the hill there. Yep.
Is that two people, a Wig and Penn? Or?
That I don't know.
That's
I
a strange
name. I
don't
know how it got its
name. How about Indiana? You've been to Bloomington?
I've been to Bloomington.
All right. According to this place, this listing, the top pizza shop is Mother Bear's Pizza. You ever heard of that one?
I think I've been to that.
Mother Bear's Pizza. Okay. Very interesting. How about Illinois? You've been to Champaign?
I've been to Champaign.
All right. The top place, according to these people, is Papa Del's Pizza Factory.
I've not been to that.
Not familiar with that. Okay, I see
just
where this place...
Missing out on the top pizza places, apparently.
Yeah. Michigan, Ann Arbor. You've been to Ann Arbor?
Do they list the top Irish bars in all of these?
No, these are pizza.
Because I might have a little more luck in the familiarity.
Have you ever been to the University of Kentucky? That would be Lexington.
I don't think I have.
Okay, I've never been to Lexington. But according to these folks, the top pizza shop there is Pies and Pints. So at least they mention beer.
Sounds wonderful.
At least they mention beer.
Mm-hmm.
At Michigan, apparently in Ann Arbor, there's a place called the Pizza House. All right. Now, they got Michigan State on here. And according to these people, at Michigan State, the top pizza shop is called Bell's. Bell's Pizza. Now, Scott here, I am honored. I had a daughter who got a master's degree at Michigan State a number of years ago. She and her husband were both there. And so over the weekend when I saw this, I texted them really quick to say, okay, I'm looking at this thing, Bell's Pizza, best pizza in town. And their response back to me was, no. According to them, we'll take the call in a second. According to them, the best pizza in East Lansing, or Lansing, they're right next to each other, that's mm-hmm. the state capital, is Papa John's. Now, not the franchise, just a separate, standalone, local place called Papa John's. They claim that's the best pizza in Lansing. Okay. Very interesting. Again, some of these, we'll take the calls. Some of these are interesting, all right? Well, let's take our call here.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, gentlemen. Just want to weigh in on your little pizza thing there real quick. Yeah. You guys, you know who Dave Portnoy is, right?
Yes.
And you know he does his pizza reviews?
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, yes.
You're aware he came to Penn State and did a pizza review at Canyon Pizza?
And?
2.8.
He was not impressed.
He was not impressed at all. So I don't know if these guys actually came and actually ate Canyon Pizza.
They did not describe. It's just a list. That's all it is.
Yeah, so I've never had it, but I don't think I would touch it.
Oh.
Dave was like, you can't be eating this pizza, even if you're hungover. This is... you can watch it on YouTube. All his feature reviews on YouTube. You can look it up and watch it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Okay. No. He has some pretty funny reactions. All right. That about it.
Well, the guy said the guys that were sitting in there. There was a guy sitting in there eating one. He said, "Yeah, you won't give that higher than a 3." And the guy behind the register was like, "Yeah, you're probably right."
Oh.
So they didn't.
Oh. So, well. College kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So,
all right. I just thought I'd let that throw that in on
you. Yes, I appreciate it. Always.
Thanks for your call. All right.
Always good to get
all right.
various opinions.
We're going to start a fight here, okay? Now, Pitt is on this list, all right? Obviously, you've been to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
There's a place called Antoon's Pizza. A-N-T-O-O-N. I'm not familiar with it.
Don't think I've been to
Antoon's Pizza.
Good number of pizza joints in the
place. Now, have you been to Purdue?
I have been to Purdue.
You've been to Purdue. According to these people, the top pizza shop at Purdue is called the Mad Mushroom.
I don't know that one either?
Okay. No. You haven't been to South Carolina, have you? University of South Carolina, that would be Columbia?
No, we didn't get to, no.
No? Okay.
Down in that general area, but no. Never.
Well, the next time the wrestling team goes there, yeah. whenever that is, uh-huh. all right. Apparently the top pizza spot is called the Village Idiot. Great name.
That's
a great name. Yeah, probably, where'd you get your pizza? The Village Idiot.
Okay, need to check that
very
place
nice.
Out.
Just, the Village Idiot. That's where I got my pizza. All right, before we break, let's take a call here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott.
Howdy.
Has to be Highway and State College.
Highway pizza?
I'm a big Highway fan.
Okay, myself. There we go. We're
gonna... I tell you right now, if you want to go into absolute culinary, go in there and get the meat lovers.
Oh,
with
yeah.
extra cheese.
That's the good stuff.
You know, I order meat lovers with extra cheese. They just tell the office to bring the ambulance, and it sets up right out front.
Yeah, I like the vegetables, too. I'm non-discriminatory when it comes to my toppings, so I get the works and load it all up.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I can remember, Jeff, you're not quite old enough to remember this, maybe, but originally the cut pie shop on Garner was the best in town by far. And, of course, Andy's carried on the tradition since, but I probably spent somewhere around $250,000 at the cut pie shop.
$250,000.
Wow. It was the good
yeah,
stuff.
I mean, I'm a serious pizza eater, but I can remember going out, and believe it or not, Jeff, I actually did have dates back in high school. You could go to a movie, take your date, get popcorn, jujubes or whatever, and whatever, and a soda. Go to the cut pie shop, get Pepsi with that crushed ice in it, which was great.
Ooh.
And a couple of squares of pizza, and the whole night you'd spend like, $6.
Those were the days.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, so, and now I decided if I want to go out and get a couple slices of pizza, it's around $22 and another $14 for the fuel to get there.
Yeah, true enough. Oh.
But then you're talking about places, weird names. North Carolina had a bar similar to like the Raskeller right across from campus. They're set up exactly like State College except north-south opposite, but it was called He's Not Here. That was great. That has to be the absolute best name for a bar ever.
Yep.
As soon as they pick it up, somebody's wife, he's not here. Okay. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, there is a, and I've been in it, there's a, the name of the bar is the Hole in the Wall Bar over in Ireland. And it literally, I mean, it is a hole in the wall, and you go in and you get a drink. I mean, it is tiny, and it is, but it's a neat, very little place, but it's part of the lore over there, the Hole in the Wall bar.
Okay.
One other sports note here real quick, and then we, I know you'll be shocked. We're behind on our breaks here Monday morning. We like to start the week strongly. If you were watching as I was flipping around last night, I just happened to tune in, or yesterday, with the UCLA-Tennessee softball game. And Tennessee ends up winning, and it felt like that was the right thing, even though for the Big Ten, you were hoping that UCLA would win it. But Tennessee challenged a call at home plate. UCLA scored a run. But the runner didn't hit home plate and was walking back, and UCLA is celebrating the big run. And the player for UCLA, again, just missed the plate, doesn't touch it. Well, one of her teammates notices this, and in the celebration, the teammate grabs the player by the arm. The player was Megan Grant that missed the plate. Alexis Lefty Ramirez grabs Grant by the arm and says, "Get back here! You gotta get to home plate and touch it." And she touches home plate. Well, Tennessee challenges this because they know that teammates aren't allowed to assist, physically assist their teammates to the plate, which is true. What was very frustrating to Tennessee fans, and I think just to folks that are generally, and listen, umpires can't know everything, and they got it right ultimately by getting it wrong, which is interesting because we get this argument all the time. Well, you got to use replay because you got to get the call right, except that we don't get all of the calls in any sport. It is specified. I don't think there's a sport out there where every call is reviewable. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe there is one or two. But most sports, it's like, no, not this isn't reviewable. This is. Well, for some reason, and I have no idea why, I would love to get into the meeting room and find out why this particular rule is not reviewable. But they spent 13 minutes reviewing a non-reviewable play.
13 minutes.
13 minutes.
Doesn't
and they
take
come
that
back
long.
Out, and the umpire did a very good job of explaining. He's like, Tennessee challenged this, and Tennessee was right. The player was improperly assisted by a teammate. That is against the rules, and this rule is not reviewable, so the call stands. It's like, well, why would you not? Now, they obviously didn't know. I mean, they went through, and he even cited the, I think the umpire cited the, you know, part of the rule book where this is laid out, Rule 10 of Appendix G, and, but good Lord, 13 minutes, and they come out and, yep, Tennessee is absolutely right, and there's nothing we can do about it, even though we see we definitely got the call wrong. Fantastic.
Way to go.
Great one. Do you think that might be changed next year?
Oh, yes.
And that might be added to the reviewable plays. Now, Tennessee does go on and win the game with a walk-off victory, and they're in the... I think they're in the semifinals, right? Yeah, they're down to the final
I'm
four
sure.
now. I don't think there's any Big Ten teams left. UCLA is out after last night's...
Oregon? Is Oregon still
loss.
Playing? Oregon might still
trying
be playing.
Trying to remember.
The West Coast teams. You know, baseball and softball, the West Coast teams.
Yeah, I don't think... No, Oregon lost, right? They yeah,
they?
No, Oregon's
I can't
out.
Remember.
I think
don't know.
It's... let me look up here real quick. It's Oklahoma and Texas Tech in one semifinal, and then Texas and Tennessee in the other.
Okay.
So, yep, right. Big Ten's out. Oklahoma beat Oregon 4-1. All right, that's extra sports here on a Monday morning, and we will take a break and be back with a two-minute segment followed by another two-minute segment
no,
as we continue.
No.
It's Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, our top of the hour break at 9:13.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
This summer, Less Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th Annual Belfont Cruise in downtown Belfont. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. PIM, located at 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
The 36th annual historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, Five-Star Mitsubishi, Wetzler Funeral Home, Sleep In and Comfort Suites, Carson Disposal, Best Line Power Sports, and WTAJ.
May is National Mental Health Awareness Month, and everyone is invited to attend the Center County Helps Wrap-Up Party, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Celebrate the month-long awareness campaign at Wasson Farm in State College. Admission is free, and doors open at 5 p.m. with live music by Kevin Briggs, free ice cream, a vendor fair, complimentary hors d'oeuvres, plus a program of speakers and great stories beginning at 5:30. Join the fun at the Mental Health Awareness Month Wrap-Up Party this Wednesday at Wasson Farm.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Oh, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, a beautiful Monday morning here in the Valley of Happiness. Oh, there's a battle brewing between the Big Ten and the SEC as we stay on the sports theme here on a Monday. Why not? This is all over the place, but I'll read here from... This is the Penn Live story, Matt Connolly for Penn Live. I'm just going to read verbatim again. This has been all over the place this weekend, and it's probably good for the sport. You get the two biggest, most successful conferences feuding, or at least members of the media covering the conferences feuding. The Big Ten, this is from the Penn Live article, the Big Ten has won the past two college football national championships. However, that doesn't mean that everyone in the sport is impressed with the league. SEC network host Peter Burns took to Twitter to blast the Big Ten. The original tweet came from ESPN's Adam Rittenberg, stating that no league dominates the media discussion like the SEC. Rittenberg added that the move by the SEC to talk so much is smart, especially coming off a season where the league was objectively a bit down.
A bit.
Peter Burns, I think it is safe to say, did not agree with this assessment. Peter Burns writes, the Big Ten is quiet because they understand over half of their league is hot garbage and only prop up the small amount of true quality contenders they have. He didn't stop there. They run a highly successful CFB Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi scheme.
That's right. The conversation on Twitter coming after a lot of talk about the future of college football and the college football playoffs over the last week. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey making headlines throughout the week, speaking about what the SEC prefers moving forward. He responded to comments made by ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips and Big Ten Commissioner Brett Yormark, in particular after they said they are concerned with what is best for the good of college football. Sankey responding, quote, I don't need lectures from others about the good of the game. I don't lecture others about the good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game, you know, okay, you can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward, unquote. He wants ideas that move us forward by providing extra guaranteed spots for his conference's teams. That's what will move the ball forward, he says. Sankey says, I think I have a responsibility to push as well, and I think my membership has a responsibility and the desire to push me, and that is a hard issue. You want to go inside what it's like to sit in this role. I think about the responsibility I have here, and I think about the responsibility more broadly all of the time. Yesterday, I said we don't apologize here. So, everybody's going to have their own opinions, obviously, on this. And, again, that's probably good for the game to get a little smack talk. But Big Ten, a Ponzi scheme as they load up with the... Because the SEC, you know, nobody there. The SEC just has nothing but contender after contender. You know, the very strong Vanderbilt program that has just been a hallmark of
They've improved lately
over the. anyways, that is. That is what the discussion has been going on between the SEC and the Big Ten and the rest of college football.
What fun.
Such as it is.
All right, what fun. 814-954-7266. Actually, this could be a bit of a segue before we take another quick break.
Oh?
Now, this was in the news late last week, and when it hit, it's like, what? Where'd this come from? That State College Borough in Center County were on a list from the Department of Homeland Security for defying federal immigration law. Now, they weren't alone. There were apparently, somebody put a list online of over 500 places.
It's a pretty long list.
Across the country that these places are all defying federal immigration law. And, you know, a bunch of, several news outlets, excuse me, had coverage of this. Since that time, that list has apparently disappeared from the Homeland Security website,
Probably because some idiot put it up there without thinking anyway. All right, now I've got a statecollege.com version of this story that they talked to some local officials either from State College or from Center County, like, what the heck is this? This isn't right. All right. And as I'm reading this story and some sort of similar versions, I just get the feeling that somebody probably in D.C. sat down and thought, okay, what are all the college towns? Let's list them all. Right? Not just their pizza shops. Okay, we did that already earlier. Pizza shops. They probably put all the college towns down and probably just thought automatically, yep, they're defying federal immigration law. Even though it's not true. All right?
Well, State College was.
What?
A sanctuary city.
Well, they claim they're not.
State College publicly proclaimed they are.
Well,
they were very, very proud of the fact that they are a sanctuary city.
I'm looking at the State College. Hold on. I'm looking at the statecollege.com story.
Uh-huh.
And I'm reading from the story. State College officials, and this is even bolded, State College officials have expressly said in the past the borough is not a sanctuary city.
They have also expressly said we are proudly a sanctuary city.
Okay, then it can't be both. Right? Something's not lining up here.
Right? Have you not? Can I introduce you to politicians? You don't think they can be both depending on the moment?
Now, that I did not say. Okay.
That's interesting.
But anyway, this list has been pulled back. Because, again, as I was reading it, I bet, without looking at the list, I didn't see the list, I bet every college town in America was on that list. Just because. All right? No, not true. Okay? Not true. And then they put Center County on the list. I'm thinking, whoa, okay, wait a minute. All right, yeah, State Colleges in Center County. Okay, I get it. The whole county? No. All right, no. So I'm figuring somebody did this by mistake, and now they have to explain. Well, now they have to explain themselves. Now, will we get any explanation? Yeah, probably not. All right, these are, again, those politicians you just referred to a moment ago. Anyway, all right, let's take a break here. We'll have another segment again. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, is going to join us a little bit later. I'm going to ask him about these wildfires, which are supposed to head our way for the next 3 days. Wonderful. Let's talk. We'll continue right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
The 36th annual historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
Center Communications, Inc., Five Star Chrysler, Rick Snyder's Concessions, PAMP, Premier Garage, and Clearwater Pool.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
This summer, let Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th annual Bellefonte Cruise in downtown Bellefonte. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. PIMP, located at 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College. Daughtry Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
The State College Spikes 2025 season is just around the corner. The 40-game regular season home slate runs Friday, June 6th through August 28th and features three great bobbleheads honoring Paul Posluszny, Katie Schumacher, Collie, and Guy Gadowski. Three Mark in the Park nights, E-L-G-S-E-S night on August 23rd. Enjoy fun, affordable family entertainment here in Happy Valley. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 and buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
May is National Mental Health Awareness Month, and everyone is invited to attend the Center County Helps Wrap-Up Party, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Celebrate the month-long awareness campaign at Wasson Farm in State College. Admission is free, and doors open at 5 p.m. with live music by Kevin Briggs, free ice cream, a vendor fair, complimentary hors d'oeuvres, plus a program of speakers and great stories beginning at 5:30. Join the fun at the Mental Health Awareness Month Wrap-Up Party this Wednesday at Wasson Farm.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you again. Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, will be joining us for the final segment of today's big show.
All right, we got a few minutes of time here if you want to chime in. Pizza shops or whatever. 814-954-7266. How about Fascia Luna? I like Fascia Luna pizza. They got good pizza. Now, I'm a little bit of a pizza snob. All right. I took a trip to Italy, God forbid, 3 years ago now almost, and had actual Italian pizza. Now, this was far northern Italy, and my favorite pizza is a margherita pizza. Now, not margherita like the drink. Sorry.
I do like a good margarita with my pizza,
You can do that.
Have a margarita with your margarita.
But a margarita pizza was named after Queen Marguerite, all right, of Italy, who just liked pizza, good sauce, fresh basil leaves.
I called her Margie.
Margie. Okay. Yeah, can I have a Margie?
Yeah.
Fresh basil leaves and not cheese like spread all over the pizza. But you take, what would it be, mozzarella cheese, and you take, like, sections, and you put it on the pizza, and as it bakes, it melts and kind of makes its way across the pizza. That is a true, genuine margherita pizza, and I can't find one in this town. All right? I'm sorry. I can't, not yet. Now, granted, there's a lot of pizza shops in the neighborhood, all right? Right? Of course. I can't find that anywhere. So I make it at home. All right, just globs of cheese, and as the cheese bakes, it kind of melts out, and fresh, whole basil leaves, not chopped up. All right, no, not chopped up. Fresh, whole leaves. Oh, and the sauce has got to be just right. It's got to be Italian sauce. Got to be just right. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit of a pizza snob. Margherita pizza. Would love one of those for breakfast. That'd be really great. All right, now you were having fun playing golf.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday, or at least you were playing golf.
Yeah, I had.
You made one putt? Is that what you said?
I made a putt.
You made one putt. There's 18 holes, and you made...
There was no need for me to putt on several of those.
Okay, all right, there we go. Saturday night, I had some fun. I was helping my public media friends, my friends from WPSU on TV. I don't know if anybody saw me, but we had a good time. They pulled out an episode of the Pennsylvania game, which hasn't been produced since the 90s. But somehow they found an episode that never aired.
Really?
Somehow it got lost in the shuffle and never aired until Saturday night. Huh. Now, our pal, Uncle Kev, was a regular guest on the show.
Was.
Now, he wasn't on this one.
Okay.
Okay. This was sort of a specialty show, probably made for a pledge drive back in the 90s, and for some reason they never aired it, and then it got lost. And recently it was rediscovered, like, hey, we never aired this. And it was funny because, again, there are three contestants. It's a quiz game. One guy was a Ben Franklin impersonator. So Ben Franklin was a guest. One guy was a W.C. Fields impersonator because he was originally from Philadelphia. And so, you know, big nose, he's got a cigar, top hat, W.C. Fields. And then there was this little girl who was like 11 years old. She was an actress in a movie back in the 90s. I can't even remember what the movie was. So you got Ben Franklin, you got W.C. Fields, and you got this little girl in the middle. And it was a bit of a spoofy episode. Maybe that's why it never aired. A bit of a spoofy episode. But it was hilarious. And, you know, and we're in the studio, and every now and then we jump in and say, hey, isn't this great? You know, we love your support, blah, blah, blah. I support public media because they do a lot of good things. They're my friends. And they do so many shows, but of course we've got all this uncertainty and, you know, should public media funding be pulled and all this sort of stuff on the national level. And it's gotten big news. Is it going to happen? We don't know. NPR is suing. PBS is suing to keep their money, their government allocations and stuff. And it's going back and forth and back and forth. It's like, okay, we had to kind of talk about that during the breaks on Saturday evening because local public media is in some disarray right now. It just is, which is unfortunate because when you think about it, there's 24 hours in a day. And so they're airing stuff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the thing about this, this would all disappear in 5 minutes if one thing happened.
Oh.
And the problem is not at the local level. Again, they're the victims, if you will. They have to deal with the people from on high. All right. NPR News and PBS News, all they would have to do is come out and say, you know, we're getting that tax funding, and we understand it's coming from all kinds of people, political liberals, political conservatives, people in the middle. So all that tax dollars is coming from all kinds of people. So maybe our news reporting should be a lot more neutral and not slanted to one side. Well, of course, if I'm being critical, NPR News on radio, PBS News on TV, absolutely goes to the left.
What?
Without, you're shocked.
I'm aghast.
You're a guest. You're aghast. All right.
They're just reporting the facts, Scott.
Yes, from a left wing point of view. All they would have to do is say, since we understand that, you know, public media money, tax money comes from all directions, maybe our reporting needs to do the same. The problem is NPR and PBS, again, these are the people at the top, not the locals. These are the folks at the top. They're digging in their heels like, no, 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 we're not going to do that. Freedom of the press. You know, they pull out the First Amendment. Freedom of the press. Yeah. Now,
yeah, no, nobody is telling them they can't report any way they want. What we're telling you is you can report any way you want, just like everybody else is doing, by going out and earning your money. Like that, I don't even, this is just insane to me. And they keep saying, well, it's only 1% of our budget. Well, then why in the hell are you fighting so hard for it?
That's not true.
I know it's not
true.
That's
not accurate.
And it's how you play with the numbers.
Yeah.
And that is what they keep claiming. And yes, you can make the numbers one way, and from the national standpoint, yes, but no, because the money that actually goes to the stations all throughout the country is important to the stations, and
yes,
that is why they are fighting so hard.
Yes.
But they can't even be honest about that, because I don't know why, because it actually, I think, hurts their cause. They keep coming out, it's only 1% of the budget. Why is the federal government? Well, then why would you be fighting so hard? Like, be honest about what the situation actually is.
Yeah.
And again, at the end of the day, just go
But the thing is, the news reporting is such a tiny part of a 24-hour cycle of stuff. There's, you know, all the great shows. We've all, you know, kids shows and entertainment shows, science shows, history shows, Ken Burns shows. I love Ken Burns. He's great.
Yep.
Civil War, baseball. I mean, he's done so many great, like, documentary-type shows, and they're always on public media.
Yep.
News makes up a tiny little portion. If NPR and PBS at the top would just say, you know, you're right, we need to be more balanced, so we're going to start doing that.
Programming for kids. It is. It is absolutely phenomenal. Good for the kids. It's not a lot that you look out on TV and say, boy, that is really good for the kids. I mean, some of it less bad than others, but no, actually a lot of their stuff, it's like, this is really good stuff.
And it's under some threat because a handful of news people will not realize that they need to do balanced reporting.
We may take this up more at a later time because I think there's some other, like with a lot of stuff, I think we're going too fast with some of it, but I do think there are ways to rework just the overall concepts here of how we fund a wide variety of things. But that'll be another discussion for another day, because Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, comes your way next on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. See how I'm building the drama there?
Good.
He's coming next!
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
This summer, let Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th Annual Belfont Cruise in downtown Belfont. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. Pimp, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College. Duttery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota.
I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.
Summertime is finally here. That old ballpark man is back in gear. Out on 49, man, I can see the lights. School's out and the night's rolling, man. Just like the long lost friend, you ain't seen in a while.
Summertime. It does bring a smile to your face to have a little summer weather this week. Joe Bastardi got tied up here. We are not going to talk to him this morning. I'm trying to see if we can facilitate tomorrow. Got unexpectedly tied up this morning, so we understand that. We will work to get him on at a future time. But a little extra open phone time here at 814-954-7266. Just with PBS, and again, I think there's a lot of things that the government funds that are really worthwhile projects. And, you know, it's really interesting because, as with a lot of things in this country, I really think we would be able to, with actual honest-to-God dialogue and discussion, come to a lot more agreement than what it would seem we could on the surface when you look at the Trump and the anti-Trump and the Biden and the anti-Biden and all of the different factions that are out there. And I think most people, if you sit down and you look at the tariffs, for example, that are imposed on U.S. products across the world, and then you look prior to Trump at the tariffs that the U.S. imposes on the rest of the world, it's, well, that is a pretty significant imbalance against the United States. I don't see any objective way you could look at it and not come to that conclusion. Now, was this the best way to go about it? And we have numbers being thrown out, and then we're pulling back some, and we're increasing over here, and it is causing, no question, chaos. And actually got into two different discussions with really good business people, like long-time business people in our area, both of whom are impacted and will be impacted by the tariffs, both do a good bit of business with products that they get from overseas and various countries, and it's like, and both said, yeah, it's tough because we don't know exactly what the impact, like people are wanting to plan, and you know, we're pretty good as human beings actually at adjusting, but it's a little easier to adjust. It's a lot easier to adjust when you know, all right, this is what's coming. This is, I need to prepare for this. I need to save up here. When you don't know the impact, like, you know, it's going to be pretty substantial, pretty significant, but like for how long and exactly what, you know, is it going to increase our prices by 50%? Maybe. By 20%? Maybe. Maybe only by 10%. Well, maybe by 100%. Well, that's that does make it difficult, right, to plan for, all right, well, then I'm going to get this amount of supplies in. You know, how much do people change their habits or their thought process? And, all right, this is what I'm willing to pay here. This is, I'm going to wait and see. I'll hold off on this project or that project. It's a lot of uncertainty. So, again, I think both things can be true. Like, man, this might not be the best way to be this drastic and this unclear on all of this. I do think, you know, the whole taco thing is just ridiculous to me. The everything, for better or worse, everything with Trump is a negotiation. I mean, that is just the way he views everything. And again, I think there's some really good things that can come from that. And, yep, I think there are some things that can be concerning. But I think, again, most of us, I think the overwhelming majorities, even the folks that are extreme left and extreme right, I think at the end of the day we would agree, yeah, we need to get a little more balance in the tariffs that are out there. And I think most Americans would be in favor of, hey, let's see if we can start manufacturing more products here, not rely on enemies, political enemies, which China clearly is, which Russia clearly is. Maybe let's see if we can figure out ways to not be as reliant on folks that are politically opposed to us. That, again, on the surface, I don't know how anybody would, well, no, my gosh, we want to make sure Russia and China have the upper hand over, I mean, well, no, of course not. Now, do I think there's a handful of people out there? Yes. And do I think there's a handful of people that, well, yes. But again, I think even a good chunk of the people that are extreme right and a good chunk of the people that are extreme left would say, well, no, we need to have a little more balance in the tariffs. Probably need to be doing a better job of manufacturing products here. I think Trump looks at this and says, listen, the only way we're going to get anything done, and I'm, you know, again, probably some right and wrong here, but we've been talking about these issues and many others for decades, and government doesn't do anything about it. Ever. Well, now he's doing something about it. Now, again, it's the same thing with fraud and waste in the government. Do I think the majority of folks want actual fraud, actual waste? The devil is always in the details, and one man's fraud and waste is another man's necessity. And I think, again, yep, there are some things I know firsthand. I've seen and talked with at some of the events I've been at recently. I get it. The impact is not good here for some really good local organizations. Now, could I make the argument, and would I make the argument, that some of the funding for these groups probably ought not be coming from the federal government? Now, when you have it set up, and that's where it's been, and then it's just yanked, boom, or you're think it's yanked or going to be yanked, again, makes it really difficult to plan. Well, we're being told that it's yanked. Well, yeah, but it's probably going to come back. Well, maybe. At least some of it's going to come back. Well, again, really hard to make plans that way. Do I think that we could get more private sector funding for some of these groups? Yes. Do I think there needs to be government, you know, the old public-private, hey, let's get relationships together here and figure out, again, the government, we are in some dire straits here with the taxpayers. Maybe let's put our heads together rather than just yanking an Ari, you're out there, now you got to figure it out. And I get sometimes, you know, necessity forces you to figure out other ways. But maybe let's get together, hey, could we back off some of the federal funding here and maybe find some private sector organizations, maybe some churches, maybe some other organizations that could pick up some of the tab with some of these nonprofits, and not just nonprofits, like other organizations, other operations that help make our overall society better and work. my guess is yes. Hey, could we, if we reduce the tax burden here by X amount and you get involved with this project over here, maybe that would be a nice balance. All right, we have a little less money coming into the government, but a bigger chunk of money not going out. I just wish we would spend a little more time actually talking through solutions. Because, again, I think most of us, even the right-wing wackos and the left-wing wackos, I think we see that we are spending too much money. And somehow we've got to figure out a way to rein that in. And yes, actual fraud, actual waste, and there is actual fraud and waste. That is, to me, indisputable. But I do think that we've gone beyond the fraud and the waste, just as I think we're going a little above and beyond, maybe a lot above and beyond. There is real concern with illegal immigration. There's also the recognition that we, the collective we as a society here in America, unquestionably benefit from having folks from other countries here interacting with us. And yes, do we want to see folks that we educate here, at least a good number of them, to stay and benefit our society? Sure. But again, I think we could find some more happy mediums. It seems to be like, the way it's presented is, nope, we either have to have a completely open border and we welcome everybody in and we don't keep track of anybody, and that's wonderful, or we shut it all down and we kick anybody who has a foreign-sounding name out. Well, come on. Like, really, we don't see that there's more of a middle ground there somewhere where you can legally come here to the United States, and as long as you are trying to better yourself and therefore better our society, yeah, we want. But do we want to keep tabs on folks that are visiting from other countries? Yes, please. In this day and age, with all of the different things that are going on in the world, yeah, I want to know who's here and what they're doing. That seems very, very reasonable to me. All right. Well, that's my segment.
Ooh, boy, I threw you off.
Hey, it's a nice sunny day, though, isn't it?
I threw
Kids,
you off.
Get out there and enjoy the weather, will you?
Threw you a hot potato there. Holy moly, we only got about like 1 or 2 minutes left, so I can't even hardly get rolling here. I just go back to the NPR PBS thing. We're both old enough to remember something called the Fairness Doctrine, which broadcasters hated.
Yes, and
hated.
It was a disaster.
Right?
They hated it with good reason.
They hated it. Now, the reasoning behind it, and this goes back to like the 1930s, I think.
Good intentions.
The public,
always,
right.
Always.
The public airwaves are for everybody, liberal, conservative,
yep.
In the middle, blah, blah. So the Fairness Doctrine was, well, if you talk about a certain subject leaning one direction, you need to also give differing views. Okay. Broadcasters hated it. All right?
Well,
just hated it.
Yes.
Now, a lot of cases, at least in my case, we tried, you know, to, you know,
well,
left,
you had
left
to.
Right? And we still are trying. I mean, we really are, but it was an untenable idea. But NPR and PBS, what's different from that is they're getting public funding. So, if anything, the Fairness Doctrine absolutely should apply to them, but they don't.
Yes,
but they don't think so.
Yeah, and they keep.
They don't think so. And again,
they keep trying to use the free speech argument, and you have free speech. You just don't need to be funded by the taxpayers, like directly. That just seems pretty simple, and it's. I think there are plenty of ways without government funding that we can get the programming that the overwhelming majority of us would agree. Yeah, we want that. Let's keep that for our kids. I think there are other ways, and I don't think it would be that hard to figure out those other ways.
Well, I mean, it's all about the news coverage. If NPR and PBS would just change their tune, this would all go away, and everybody would live happily. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not. We're out of time. We will see you again tomorrow morning.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
This
This summer, Best Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th annual Belfont Cruise in downtown Belfont. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. PIMP, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap, Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg, Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 and State College, Daughter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall, and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM, The Fox.